I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Half Hour Fantasy Podcast. I'm your host Peter, joined this week as always by Tom and Donnie. How you doing, Tom?
I'm good, Peter. How are you?
Not bad. How you doing, Donnie?
I'm very well, thank you.
Right, we will go first to our own league for the top three. There is a new leader as Donnie's dropped to second place. Up to number three is Milvino, so he is making his name won a cup before. He's kicked to the top three at 87 points this week. What a good score. Second is Donnie yourself, 54. And up to one is E6 Hammers as number one. So we will go to our own scores and rank this week. So I'm slowest down, so I will go first. Once it floats up. Right, so 64 points for me this week. That's again, that's 2 weeks to trot. The lesser spotted Peter outscores Donnie and Tom in the FFS. I'll take it. That's good for the rank. Roos and Gold for one. Captain Tav, 12. Scales, minus four. Taylor, one. Axon, 4 points. Did not expect that because I didn't even bench at the start of the game. Boyle, seven. Spittle, two. Jota, two. Vice Captain, Tony Goals, Kolak, 26. Shank on 12. Mioski, one. And none on revenge. So pretty much called. You could maybe say Captain Tar could even change, but pretty much called it defence for Captain Vice Captain. Sorry, and that's me up to 2-2-4 in the league. So what about yourself, Tom?
So I'm 89th in the big league. I got 57 points this week in goals. I had Roos for one. Backline was Solholm for two. Captain Tav 12. Scales for a minus four. Mayo 2 and Taylor 1. In midfield, I had a younger for 10, Yota 2, Mackay 3. And up front, vice captain Cholak got me 26 and Furuhashi 2.
Okay, Donnie, save yourself.
Yeah, probably my worst game week so far. Made no transfers, so I had Roos and Goals for 1, Captain Tav for 12, Taylor for 1, Devlin for 6, Scales for minus 4, Boyle for 7, Ayunga, Tim Skelper for 10. Jota for 2, Kolak for 16, Miowski for 1, and put vice captaincy on Furuhashi, which was my big mistake of the game week, and he returned 2. So 54 points for the week, 5-3-9 total, down 9 places to 12th. So a poor one for me.
Ski bit, Tom. He's not much to celebrate this season. That's what he's been doing for the weekend. Right. So I'll go through the results first, then we'll go over to Tom to see what he cleaned for this week. So game week 7, we had Johnson 0, Ross County 0, Rangers 2, Dundee United 1, Livingston contained their good form, 1-0 Kilmarnock, Hibs 3, Aberdeen 1, St Mirren 2, Celtic 0 on the Sunday, and then Motherwell 0, Hearts 3. So Hearts finally get their finger out as well. So what have you took from that, Tom? What have you got for us?
Well, we've got the Hibs-Aberdeen game where it was 3-1 Hibs. Boyle's on penalties. He scored the first. The penalty was won by Porteous. The other two goals were scored by Josh Campbell and assisted by Chris Cadden and Kukharevich. Goal from Aberdeen came from the Duke. Assist from Coulson, and obviously Scales got a red card. Josh Campbell was top for shots on target in this game with 3. Newell and Ellie Ewan, who's a nice cheap forward. They both had 2 shots on target. And Cadden got 4 key passes, as did Newell as well. Newell's usually always in the stats, but doesn't always get the returns. But Cadden was rewarded with an assist in this game. This is one of 2 games where Hibs have managed to score more than 1 goal. The other one was the 2-2 versus Rangers. So They're not usually goals aplenty, so we'll see what happens with Hibs going forward now that Boyle's starting to settle back in again. In terms of Aberdeen, Miovski, another blank for him, which is a bit of a concern. He did miss a big chance in this game. Duke started and got a goal. He's now joint seventh highest scoring striker at 4.6 million, so he might be the new hot favourite for the cheap striker position, but we'll see how things go. We've got Kilmarnock next, so they should get a result there. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. Peter, anything to add on that one?
First of all, have you ready to go on the Boyle train yet? You keep on saying you need to see more. You still need to
see more? Aye, because I went with Mackay and he's rotten, so I'm going to have to go with Boyle. I don't really have much other choice, really.
I don't really know what to make of it, because like me and Donny were discussing before you came on, they keep on playing against 10 men or 9 men, so they'll get the results, but I don't know what they're like if they played a full-strength team for 90 minutes. I suppose that's not their fault, the way situations fall, so... Boyle's the one I've got. We've also got a double game week coming up, so I think that's a decent shout for that week as well. Aberdeen, I don't know, this can be fell apart when they lost their man and struggled to recover from it. So, still got three Aberdeen players. The office's going to be streaky, I think. I don't know, maybe time to jump, have to wait and see. I tell players, keep scales if you've got them for next week, use them as a bench trip, extra player, special double game week, so you can use that to your advantage in case some of the players can surprise you with double returns in two games. But apart from that, not much that. Boyle penalty takers, nice and juicy, but...
Mm-hmm. Donny, your thoughts?
Aberdeen and Celtic both losing at the weekend. I think I've got one more wish left. Duke, yeah, I think Miowski's gone off the boil. He scored in his last couple of games. He looks lively, but they do have Kilmarnock up next, so I think I will hold on Miowski. I think Hibs, after the goal, did settle into a good way of playing and did create some chances. By the looks of it, they were probably denied a penalty for handball. It wasn't given, but moving on to the penalty that was given, it's a tough one because it looks like a foul when you see it in real time. So I think the referees just guessed it. And you know, well, it's been talked about enough over the weekend, but he definitely got it wrong and Porteous has played him there. So
the dark caps.
Yeah, scales, we all had scales, we all got -4, so I guess a lot of it will have had a -4, but in hindsight, I'd have maybe just put him on the bench because I do have Boyle, so I probably was expecting Hibs to get some points there. But luckily, Boyle softened the blow with the penalty. I went on him a couple of weeks ago now. I think Hibs are ticking. I think he is up to speed now, and with the double game week, you can just hold them in place and I think you'll get your points back soon enough. Campbell took both goals pretty well. Anyone who was on him got some good points returns there. Apart from that, yeah, scales, put them on the bench or maybe cash in and get a defender who's playing twice in the next 2 weeks. But apart from that, I don't know. I don't think I'll get anyone else from Hibs. They are a bit patchy. And Aberdeen, I'm just going to hold my Aberdeen players.
Yep. Next up, we've got Livingston 1, Kilmarnock 0. It was Montano that scored for Livingston with an assist from Sean Kelly. For Kilmarnock, I'm not really interested in any of their players at the minute. I'm not really producing anything either end of the pitch. Looking at Livingston, again, there's probably not a wealth of options at Livy, but Montano at 3.6 million, I think, is a great option. He's now the third highest scoring midfielder in the game with 42 points. He did gleam 25 points in the last two game weeks, so it has been recent form. They've got St Mirren, Ross County and St Johnstone the next three, so a nice fixture run. They do face Rangers and Celtic back-to-back, so you'll maybe have to bench them for those. Livingston also on three clean sheets, which is one more than Aberdeen. Sean Kelly and Obelai are doing quite well for points. Sean Kelly's had two assists as well as the three clean sheets, so interesting option there. Donny, interested in Montano?
Probably not. I think you've got better options in that position. But one point of note in this game was that Hemmings was back in goal for Kilmarnock. So anyone who's on the Sam Walker save machine needs to come off of that now and find an alternative. The game itself, it was probably end-to-end action, but the final third was pretty poor. I mean, the goal itself was, again, poor defending. I know Taylor's suspended for this game, but it was almost a free header. I think Livingston are the more lively team, and they're starting to pick up wins now, which makes them dangerous to the teams around them. I say week in, week out, that you can pretty much rely on Livy defensively. I've got Devlin, so I was rewarded there. They're just the kind of team you can put a defender, probably put them in the bench, and you'll get returns maybe 3 out of 7 games, which is not too bad for a team of that nature. Kilmarnock, they just look out of their depth now. They can't score and they lose easy goals, so there's nothing there that you would want to get on. And they don't even have a cheap keeper now for save points, so just totally back off them.
Yep. Peter, anything to add?
Yeah, not much to add to that. It's well covered. Kilmarnock, I would suggest McInnes must want to get to January really quick and try and prove that score, because they're sinking. They're lucky on United in the league room right now. What Donnie said about Livingston's probably bang on. I'll probably bring a Livingston defender in at some point and just have them sitting on the bench. They do look well organised. They look a lot better team this year than they were last year. I know they kind of sprung to action later in the season. So they're probably a good chance of finishing 3rd, 4th, 5th again this year overall. So again, I would recommend getting a defender in, cheap, playable, use the bench trick, and then if fixture dependent, you can maybe play more somebody else. But nothing else to add to that.
Yeah. Next fixture, we've got St Johnston 0, Ross County 0. Bit of a boring game, this one. Both teams only managed a single shot on target. St Johnston managed 5 goals in the last 2 games, so I really wanted to see them do well again so we can perhaps jump on some cheap attackers. Stevie May hit the woodwork in this game, so there could have been a goal there. Olakby, yeah, he did the same for County, so I probably wouldn't go near any County players. We've said it on quite a few pods in the past. There's nothing really there. They're not really scoring any goals, they're not keeping clean sheets, and there's no consistent players. Peter, you think of any St Johnston players?
Not St Johnston players, but maybe a Ross County defender for the double up next week. But that's, again, by using the bench trick. And hopefully they'd outscore another defender and they could come on. But I don't know why I done this to myself, but I watched extended highlights. I must have been really bored at the weekend of this game. And there was some nice passing play. The teams were trying. They just didn't have, they just lacked quality in the final third. They were definitely going at it. There were some nice passes of play. I'd still like your Ross County wingers, but I think we mentioned before, there's just really no point when you've got so much other depth of talent to pick from in this game. There's nobody up front I want. St Johnson do look better than they have been. They still need to be shown more than, for example, we discussed Livingston for it to be moving to that position, so it's not yet. And again, yeah, I'm going to discuss, I think Donnie can start on it later, but Ross County defender's probably the one that I'm looking at for double game week, because we'll, as we get to that, we'll discuss later. The other alternatives, not really that keen for me now.
No. Donnie, can I tempt you with any St Johnston or Ross County players?
Well, this is a game that had 0-0 all over it, so much so that I had Andy Considine as one of my expert picks this week. So if you took that advice, you'd have got your points back. So I was quite happy with that. Exactly what Peter said, both sides had chances, but the quality in the final third was just non-existent. St Johnston have had 2 clean sheets in a row now, but I don't think we're going to move off of that too soon. They've got Celtic jammed in between Dundee United and Livingston. Ross County have a double week, which I'm going to talk about later on, so I'll not mention too much more about them.
Yep. Next fixture. Next fixture up, we've got Rangers 2, Dundee United 1. It was Cholak with a brace. Assists came from Tav and Barisic. For Dundee United, it was Liam Smith with an assist from McGrath. And it was a start for Charlie McCann in the Rangers team. He didn't make much of an impact. Al McGregor was back in goal for this game as well. However, they never managed to keep the clean sheet. Cholak seems to be the safe pick up front still, which is good because he's scoring goals. Dundee United are starting to look a little bit better, but there's probably not much of a talisman in the squad. And probably want to see a bit more from them as well. That's probably about it for that one. Donnie?
Yes, after some horrendous fixtures, I'm sure Rangers fans would have wanted to crush Dundee United, but I suppose you just have to be glad with the win at the end of the day. not the rotation that I would have expected. I was saying to Peter before we came on that it would have been a fine opportunity to play Yilmaz, Davis, but Van Bronckhorst chose some of the younger guys. Kent missed a grace chance in the first half, but he just looks out of form. Not really getting the luck at the moment. Both Rangers goals were good, and both fullbacks getting the assist. Tav with the cross for the first one, and Barisic for the second one. I think the way it might work out for Rangers is that in the league they'll play Colak, and in Europe they'll play Morelos. So I think that's just the way that Van Bronckhorst is going to set up. So you probably could leave in Colak for the league games. And I think that's just the way it's panning out. And I think for Europe, it's a better system as well. So I'd be happy with that, the way my team's set up. But the United possibly could have had a penalty. Didn't really show too much of it on Sports Scene, but it's one of those ones that...
But one, Donnie, because I watched that. What one are you talking about?
Yeah. The guy gets fouled on the edge of the box. I can't remember who it is. He's making a run. I think it's Barisic, maybe.
Not Tony Watt one, is it? No, because he dived. Oh, it could have been. Tony Watt one. The other one, was it Tillman?
Yes, it was Tillman.
It's not a penalty. You see it. Nah, it's just kind of flicked.
Is that penalties we've conceded recently?
I know. I'm just saying, this is me being unbiased because I wanted a penalty, obviously, but he got the ball. It was really extremely soft, there was.
Yeah, I don't watch the review at the end. I just fast forward after that. But and first view did look dodgy. Dundee United got back into the game, which I think for Rangers and the fans, it created a nervous finish. But there was half chances. We just couldn't kill off the game. United's effort would have been pleasing, but they're going to need a new manager before the next game comes around, just to kind of get them set up better. I noticed Fletcher wasn't even in the squad. Don't know, that's a message that's getting sent out. But for Rangers, they'll be glad to get into the international break. And the fact that it's now only 2 points at the top of the table is good for them. You asked me yesterday, I think it was, about King in centre defence. I think that's maybe to do with Sands being suspended. He's maybe just going to give him game time, which when you think of like Davies and Suter and centre-backs that we do have, probably puts King ahead of them in the pecking order. So just watch for that one. It might be a cheap route into the Rangers' defence. But Tavernier and Colak's probably your two must-haves. Lawrence is not far off. I think Van Bronckhorst said he won't be ready for the Hearts game, but with St Mirren and Motherwell after that, you hopefully get him back in the squad and push us on for the next sort of sprint to the World Cup. But it's a good 3 points. Performance-wise, probably not so much, but I'll take it after some hammerings in Europe.
Anton. my thoughts, Tom, yeah. Dundee United do look better. I'm interested to see who they appoint during an international break. We've got a better idea of their identity going forward. And obviously, their squad, and Donny mentioned Fletcher dropped, so we'll see how that kind of pans out going forward. I was driving the caravan for this game, so I just took a total punt on Tavernier when we start. I know he was risky, a slight niggle, but he's, Donny said, it's one more game for a national break. I'm sure he could cope one game. And just hoped that Colak started and it worked out fine. That's the two I want to keep. I'm not really interested in a third right now because I want to wait for Lawrence to come back and he'd probably slide back in. I think we all mentioned that's the three go for unless like Kent's form improves or they get more clean sheets at the back. But never much to add. I didn't think they just looked fantastically brilliant, but the ground out the win, and I suppose it's better than we don't the weekend. So not much to say about that.
This is it. Well, speaking of that, we've got St Mirren 2, Celtic 0. Goals came from O'Hara and Iunga, and it was Strain that assisted O'Hara's goal. In this game, no player got more than a single shot on target, and those that held on to Iunga did quite well there. I was thankful for the bench trick this game week. Celtic, the starting 11, there was quite a few changes there. Ralston was on in place of Juranovic, who was rested for this game. Welsh was on for Cameron Carter-Vickers, who is injured. Turnbull and Moy were on for Hitati and O'Reilly, so big changes there. And obviously, Yota started the game on the bench as well. Not really much to say about Celtic, to be honest. For St Mirren, that's now 4 clean sheets. Ryan Strain is now the third highest scoring defender in the game. As well as the 4 clean sheets, he's had 2 assists and 4 bonus points this season. I'm kind of eyeing him up as a possible Scales replacement. They do have Livingston next, but then Rangers in game week 9. But a nice run after that of Kilmarnock, Dundee United, Hibs and Ross County. So I think that could be interesting. Peter, what do you reckon? St Mirren?
Yeah, they're falling in the bracket, I think, with Livingston if they keep this up. That's 4 clean sheets. They could be the option of the cheap defender trick and use that. I mean, I did not see that result coming, but I knew after the first goal, he just knew it wasn't going to be Celtic State. Can he go from one extreme to the next, say we're brilliant, say we're poor? It's just one of the days. I don't know if maybe players bought into the hype. What I would say is I don't think he'll make that mistake again. So I think you'll probably see stronger teams going forward. I don't like to see Welsh and Ralston in that back four anytime soon. It'll give me nightmares. too much change. I know you can say, you could look at it and probably say Celtic could change the players and still win the game, but I think sometimes it's one or two players is fine. When you change 6 players, it's too much. Don't even discuss this four. So they're more on it for the minute, for the get-go. Their tactics were well thought out. Their endeavour was 100%. So we've got to see these things happen. So they're definitely on my watch list at the back. Maybe not so far. Young's been there from the start, so we'll discuss him, but then there's options emerging. You can go to Boyle, for example. But at the back, it falls in that bracket along with Livingston, that you could maybe have one defender. You could want each of these teams and use your money elsewhere and just play them fixture dependent, I suppose. And that's it.
Yeah, Donny?
Yep, so for the first time in my recording, this is the first time I get to chat about a Celtic defeat.
Is it really?
Yeah. Apart from the Scottish Cup semi-final, but that doesn't count.
You squeezed that in, that was meant to be on the podcast.
Here's hoping there's more to come. It was a poor result for Celtic, but it was a worse result for Celtic retail department because they'll no shift a lot of that third kit now. That was an absolute stinker. How did they play that against St Mirren? Black shirts against black shirts? Dodgy grey against
contracting liable ice to so many teams a season, I think that's the...
That was not the fixture. Should have changed at half-time. great goal from O'Hara, great goal for Younger. I didn't see anything dodgy in either goals that Celtic could complain about, but no, it was a total spirited performance from St Mirren, something that we never did, so fair play to them. Celtic were just not the races. As soon as you go 2-0 down, it's hard to come back, and they almost went 3-0 down. But yeah, St Mirren, fourth in the league now, and as Motherwell and Dundee United showed last season, if you can get into the top 6 and stay there, then, you know, points on the board count for a lot. Had game week 7 gone ahead in its original format, and this would have been game week 8, I would have dropped Ayunga. Obviously, fixture was not one where I saw him doing any damage. He got 10 points, so probably saved a bad game week being a terrible game week for me. For Celtic, it's just a bad day at the office. You get them. They'll be disappointed that they're only 2 points ahead because they really could have put their foot down. 5 points is a lot. So international break now. Again, you just got to be careful here because Celtic have a lot of Japanese and Australian players. They'll be travelling, potential injuries there. So just keep a watch out for that when the game swung back around, that they've all returned fit and healthy. But for me, it's a hold on Taylor, Jota, Kyogo. I don't see any reason to give up on those. Although Kyogo, being the price he is the only one that will really free up money for me. But I'll make a decision on that when it comes. St Mirren, I'll keep Ayunga. And as you've said, defensively, they might be worth a look there as well. So I'll keep an eye on that one. But no, happy for me. Nobody saw it coming. So when it came, brilliant. I'll take it.
All right. This week, the Tommy De Jones, the guy in the third in the league, managed to get 101 points this week because of that. Strain, Tavernier, Kingsley, Kelly, and Barisic, and he's back 5. I'm assuming it's a bench trick because there's 3 players, 2 players on the bench didn't play. Ayunga and Kolak, vice captain, and Shanghai, so 101 points this game week. So you pull out the bag. When Rangers conceded the goal, so they can beat, and he still got 101 points. That's an impressive shooting because I don't know what happened this
certainly
week.
Is.
Wow. Our last fixture then, it was Motherwell 0, Hearts 3. We got a goal from Shankland and a brace from Forrest. Shankland assisted one of the goals, as did Atkinson. I thought the scoreline was a bit of a surprise given the numbers behind the game. Motherwell had 25 total shots, against Hearts 10. 5 on target for Motherwell, 6 on target for Hearts. Possession was fairly even. Big chances, 4 for Motherwell, 3 for Hearts. And Motherwell hit the woodwork 3 times. That was Matt Penny, Blair Spittle and Paul McGinn. I think Hearts did well to keep the clean sheet in this game. Van Veen, obviously the talisman for Motherwell. He had 2 big chances in this game. Molt missed a big chance as well. For Hearts, Alan Forrest was the standout, obviously. He had 4 shots on target and came away with a brace. He's now even on total points with Barry Mackay, so that's something to consider there. However, prior to this game, Forrest has only scored 1 goal and had 0 assists, so it could just be a one-week wonder, but perhaps something to keep an eye on. I'm starting to rethink holding on to Miofsky at the minute. Shanklin could be an option, but Aberdeen do have Kilmarnock next game week, so I'm probably not going to jump off him just yet. Donny, your thoughts on this fixture?
Yeah, so Shanklin amongst the points again. So for those that stuck with him, well done. You got your points back. Like you say, he is one to watch, but on the same note, Hearts don't have Europe. You know, they were able to play him without fear of having a midweek game the game after. So it'd be interesting to see if that's the same come the Rangers game, because they'll have Europe again the following week. Forrest, yeah, he was the man of the weekend. I think he was the top point scorer, and he certainly can make a difference. He might benefit from the run in Europe. I think Mackay will probably get the starts, and he'd come on as a sub, which means in the league he'd probably get more game time. So he certainly would slide into most midfields quite easily at his price point. I thought Motherwell were pretty poor, and they didn't take their chances and ultimately suffered it as a result. They do have a double game week up next, but one of those is against Celtic, so we'll probably stay clear of them as far as that's concerned. I don't have any Hearts assets, and I'd like to keep it that way for the Rangers game, but if Shankland continues to get the points, then I might be forced to bring in him. But it was a good result for Hearts. I know they've had some dodgy games recently, but no, it was a good result for them. They played quite well.
Yep, Pierre.
Is that Hearts' first clean sheet of the season as well?
Yeah, I think you're right.
I think
yeah.
So.
Zombie teams rejoice. They've got Gordon in the back. 3-0, but as Tom said, I think they did finally get their finger out this season and went for it. But they're still lucky to keep a clean sheet. Gordon had a couple of right good saves to keep them in it. Motherwell might now be over that wee manager's bounce now and starting to kind of gravitate back to the norm. So it's interesting when they do it over the national break. Another manager could be getting replaced in there. And I know you mentioned Solheim a couple weeks ago, Johnny, but I think we mentioned other good options in this podcast alone. You're going to mention a couple more, I'm sure. So it may be time to move off him and move on to the Livingston defender or Swindon defender. Or yeah, have all three if you're feeling really punty. Apart from that, not much. Do we get early team news next week? Is that the early kickoff, Hearts Rangers? Or is that
Sunday? Rangers Hearts is the early game on Saturday, so that's
England
the only game
owners will know if he's playing or not. That's kind of my thinking. I've got 2 Hearts players on my team. I don't want 2 of them anymore. I want 1 this week, so depending on who plays, either one I'm probably getting sold when we see the team news.
Yep. Top 10 then. Donny was right. Forrest is number 1, 17 points this week. He's obviously a midfielder. Čolak with 16 points up front for Rangers. Josh Campbell, the Hibs midfielder, got 16. Sean Kelly, Livingston defender, with 12, as did the St Mirren defender, Strain. Montano, the Livingston midfielder, got 12. Shanklin, 12. O'Hara, who is a midfielder, got 11. A younger St Mirren again, 10 points midfield. And Liam Gordon, 9, the St Johnston defender, which gives us totals of no goalkeepers this week, 3 defenders, 5 midfielders and 2 forwards, and season totals of 4 goalkeepers, 21 defenders, 33 mids and 12 forwards. The forwards, it all seems to be the kind of same faces, the Čolak, Shanklin, Kyogo, Van Veen, all those guys. Midfield is a bit more variation there.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Any thoughts on that one, guys?
It's kind of going the way I thought midfield-wise. I didn't expect it to be so kind of... The goalkeepers after Gordon last year, but there's been quite a lot of a lack of clean sheets, so this is playing a lot. The strikers one, I think you're right, it's getting skewed by, it's just maybe the same four or five players, so we've mentioned them all before. If you can navigate, be on them at the right fixtures, you're probably getting right good returns and rotating at the right time, like just following fixtures on Mioski to Van Veen and back, and Shankland, the ones maybe Europe's finished, and Colac's kind of a hold. So, yeah, it's kind of, it is what I expect. I'm not really much surprised there, apart from maybe the goalkeeping aspect.
Yeah, Donny?
Yeah, I tend to agree that if a defender gets a clean sheet, they tend to pick up bonus points as well. So that's, you can win quite big at the back if you call it right. But it's so difficult to look at a fixture and say that that's a walking clean sheet. Midfield, you know, Jota didn't play this week, and you know, he probably would have hauled in most weeks, so we missed out there. Rangers don't have a consistent midfielder, so again, it's just to try and find the right ones at the right time. And up front, we all talk about the same forwards each week. So, no, that was interesting. Good.
Right, Donny, over to you with your dive into double game week coming up.
Yes. So we've got a differential this week. There's a couple of back-to-back and double game week, so I'll probably do the same next week. So we'll try and identify a player that's currently low in ownership and possibly overlooked. It's a recommendation only. My Sam Walker shout, obviously the way the game's panned out, we weren't able to cash in on him. So this week, he plays, as I say, in the double game week. He's 3.1% owned. That puts him in the top 100 player owned beside Josh Newelly and Dylan Reid. He's played all seven games and averaged 95.4 minutes and sits on 32 points. He's got one goal, no assists and two clean sheets. That gives him an average of 4.6 points per game. He has also picked up 5 bonus points. So the differential this week from Ross County, we've already touched on, is defender Alex Iacobiti. Okay, so if we look at the stats in a bit more detail, with them playing twice, and Motherwell being the other team that played twice, they've got Celtic. So Ross County have got Hibs and Motherwell. So both games, they do have clean sheet opportunities. He's 2.6 million, so he could be a good replacement for Scales. If you want to come off him, cash in, move down to Iacobiti and hold him. They do have good fixtures following the double game week, so it's not like you're just going to bring him in and then punt him out again. They do have some quite good fixtures. And he also is a goal-scoring threat. He's scored in the league and in the cup against Celtic this season. So he can bring attacking returns there. It is a punt, you know, as we've just mentioned. The defence is a hard one to call. So you might just bring him in, put him on your bench and hope he does better than some other players that are around him. But this week's differential, Ross County defender, Alex Iacoviti, 2.6 million. Peter, thoughts on that one?
He's the exact player who I got penciled to come in this transfer window. That's the one that stands out. He's nailed.
An easy one.
He's nailed. He's dangerous. I've seen him against my own team twice, so that's why it's fresh in my memory that I know he can do it against a so-called Bear defences. So he's there.
Yeah.
There's more chance of him keeping a clean sheet in the two games than there is Motherwell. And my only kind of count that active would have been, I don't know, another player I thought maybe would be worth it with Kevin Van Dien up front, because obviously he can be dangerous, but that's the only one. Again, the bench trick is what I'll be using him for, bringing him in, hopefully keeps one or two clean sheets, and then if any could have a 2 point in the next game. That's still more than your average defender would have got, so that's the way I'm leaning. Obviously, a national break, thought food for thought to come, but that is probably, I'd agree 100%, that's my pick.
Yeah. Tom?
Yeah, if you look at the double game week teams of Kilmarnock, we're not going to touch them. Motherwell, as Peter mentioned, they are starting to regress a little bit. And as you said, Celtic's one of the games, so you think Celtic are going to bounce back. It's more like a single game week, really.
Yeah.
St Johnstone, not well known for keeping clean sheets, and both their games are away. So Ross County, two nice home games. Hibs, obviously, struggling against full teams. And Motherwell, obviously, starting to regress a little bit as well. So they've kept a clean sheet away against St Johnstone, as we said, scored 5 goals in the last 2 games. So I think that's a decent shout, aren't I?
Yeah, so they play Hibs, get on that myself. And then they've got Livingston, Dundee United. So, you know, four games out of the next 3 where they could get easily 2 clean sheets there. It's not a bad shout. So, and I think a lot of them are at home as well. 3 out of 4 are at home. So you would get good value. I'm just looking at my team. And I think I've got Sol home in there at the moment. It could just be an easy switch, like for like, and maybe hope to cash in there. So we'll see how it goes. So yeah, that's the one for the double game week, if you fancy it, guys.
Right, excellent. We'll get on that. We get to transfers and captain plans later on. Right, just a reminder also, it was the Regan Charles Cup quarterfinal first leg at the weekend there. So there's only 4 games left, so I'll quickly run through them. John Easton, 68. He's got a 14-point lead over our very own Donny, 54. Lee Kami, 67. Fitbapod John, 61. Molino, 87. Looks kind of out of sight against Blues Attack, 49, but do you think it's going to happen? And Hoofball Pod, Hugh and Tom are drawing 57 points each. So I would say they're still double game week, next game week. All chips can be used, so there's something in there. We'll have to wait and see. Again, I'll be updating that for next game week. So we will go to our questions first. We'll start to kind of finish up. So we've only got 2 this week. I'll load them up on the Twitter box. Didn't work. Right, here we go. First up is from Tommy at TForest55. Best Motherwell and Dundee assets and thoughts on when to wildcard. Now, we just discussed the rule, isn't there? Because that's what we were kind of going about. Thoughts, we'll do the assets first. I just think it would be basically Kevin Van Veen's the one for me. He's a standard talisman. Sol Heim's good. I've got Spittle on my team right now, but that's only because I brought him in as a cheap midfielder. He'll stay this week, just on the off chance. But there's nobody really stands out for me apart from Kevin Van Veen. I don't know what your thoughts on that is first before we go to the wildcard plan. So, Donny, Motherwell done United assets?
Yeah, so when I hear Motherwell, I only ever think of Van Veen. I've talked a lot of him on previous podcasts. I don't think there's much in midfield. Spittle has had a good season, and Sol, whom I've mentioned before. So those are the sort of main ones. Kelly is a goalkeeping option. He's a decent keeper, but he's 3.2 million. So for me, he's overpriced. Dundee United, there's absolutely nothing that shouts out as far as they're concerned. They're bottom of the league, 2 points. But since he's asked the question, I think Eriksen in goals, 2.3 million. That could be a shout. McGrath in midfield, he's got a good pedigree in the game. He's just yet to show it. So those would be my Motherwell, Dundee United shouts. Neither of them are great options, but he's asked a question, so hopefully I've helped.
Yeah, before I come to Tom, what I'd say, we mentioned already, they could potentially have new managers come the next game week. So it's just, I like to say this, we'll say wait and see, but it is wait and see who they appoint first, and then players might become available or good assets you maybe not thought of before. Tom, any other assets Mutu teams to add, or you can agree with the names mentioned?
I would say Spittle, but I think Spittle's a better option than maybe what we've said in the past. He's on 32 points, which is the same as a younger, and we've showered him with plenty of praise. So I think he could be a decent option, Spittle. 3.6 million as well. So if you wanted to make the switch from a younger, then he would free up a little bit of funds as well for you to use.
Okay, and he said
Dundee
that,
United.
Oh, sorry, on you go.
Continue. Dundee United probably wouldn't be touching them with a barge pole. So, and then in terms of wildcard, I'm not too sure. I'm interested to hear what you guys say.
Sorry, wildcard.
Okay,
on you go. Sorry.
No, sorry. I was just going to say, a wildcard, you've got two and you can use them whenever you like. So there's none of this post split nonsense where we've all got the same team for the last five games. For me, if you need to make probably four or more changes, then I would go for it, because the way the price changes in the game, it'll be a lot harder further down the line. Some of the dates that I would be looking out for is, obviously you've got an international break to now if you need to freshen up. Game week 16 is the last game before the World Cup, so you might refresh when the World Cup's on and try and come out the other side with a healthy team. And then game week 22, 23... it's when the January transfer window closes. So again, there might be an opportunity there to play both your wild cards. All I would say is, on the flip side of that, you've got a couple of back-to-back double game weeks. I often feel they soften a minus four. So I've got two free transfers. I could make three changes for a minus four. And hopefully with a double game week, you make that minus four back plus, you know, anything else on top of that. So I mean, my team's good enough. I don't need to push the panic button yet. But if you've got some major issues and you've just made some errors, don't be afraid to play it. I'm sure there'll be a lot of folk have played already. So that'll be my advice.
Yep. Mine is kind of team dependent. I mean, you can't really give... it's how your team looks, as Tony mentioned. If you've got three or four fires you need to put it out, then yeah, I think it's quite right to pull the trigger. International break seems to be a popular one. People kind of thinking about with their team. I think the World Cup is one to keep an eye on, because it depends how players go. Now, I'm only talking from a Celtic point of view. There's three Japanese players probably going to be in the World Cup, potentially an Australian player. I don't expect them to go deep in the World Cup, but I do expect them to have time off when they come back, or slowly to get back in the squad. So that could be a chance. Also, over a double game week to fit back in. So you could be ultra aggressive and wait to double game week's sorted, and you could attack the double game week, try to get the best players available from the fixtures. And there's also this game, you do get two free transfers at the end of it, at the back of it, sorry. So you could set up your team for the best possible double game week you've got. And again, you know, two transfers away back to another you kind of team you don't want to get to. So that's something to look for. That's something to kind of think about. The second question is from Melvino on 68. Is it worth investing in Celtic defence given their current injuries and rotation risks? And if so, who's most nailed? So I'll go first here. I don't think you should come off it because of one game. Taylor's the one, I think. Vogt Taylor, is that right? Fraser Taylor?
Yeah.
Right, yeah. So he's the most nailed right now. I don't think Rada done himself any favours with that performance weekend, so I would assume it just makes Juranic a bit more nailed when he comes back. Vickers is injured, Starfelt's injured. I believe Vickers to pull out the national squad. I don't know how far away Starfelt is, Tom, you might be able to enlighten me later on. But the most nailed, probably, apart from that, would be Joe Hart then. And if they're all fit, I think now you've seen, I don't know if you think, Tom, I think Jens looked a bit dodgy at the back. A couple of his goals have came through his fault. I think this makes, once they're both fit, it makes Starfelt and Vickers more nailed as a partnership. Again, you need to keep an eye on the injuries. You've got 2 weeks for the next game now, so we'll have updates near the time. So, in my preference of nailedness, it would be Naylor, Taylor, Vickers, Juranovic, because I don't know why I'd go on a goalkeeper, but you could go down that route. What about yourself, Tom?
Yeah, I'd agree with those. Juranovic is probably going to go away and play with Croatia, so I think the idea was give him a break against St Mirren, so he's a bit fresher coming back, so I don't think there's anything to worry about there. Greg Taylor's probably the favourite just now. Carter Vickers, I do like him, but he's not offered a lot in front of goal, particularly in comparison to like Starfelt and Jens, and he is quite expensive as well. So, but he is an option there too. We kind of need to see a bit more from Jens going forward if he's going to keep his place, and we need to see if Starfelt's going to come back anytime soon. But Jens could be a decent cheap option there as well. In terms of coming off them, I probably disagree with that. They're top for clean sheets so far this season with 5. It's just one of these ones. That was a bit, as Donny said, it was a bad day at the office, and I fully expect them to come back after international break and probably get back into the swing of things.
And Donny, Celtic defence thoughts?
Yes, yeah, so I've said the same as you. The only certainties at the moment are Taylor and Hart. I guess the problem a lot of folk will be having is they've maybe gone Vickers, they've moved to Jens, they've tried Juranovic, and then he's missed. So they probably just feel annoyed that they're missing out on those minutes. But you're certainly not going to come off anybody unless they're truly injured. But Taylor, for me, is a hold. We've probably all got Jota, who you're going to hold on to there. For me, the fixtures do shout defence, but we've thought that about this weekend, so you're never too sure. I think there's probably better value elsewhere. Abada's maybe going to get more game time. Kyogo, O'Reilly, guys like that, probably better returns than sort of trying to juggle in defence. But it's just annoying. We've got a break now, so as we've said in the previous section, just wait for team news, wait for press conferences once everyone's back from their travels. And see how things are from there. But I certainly wouldn't look to be making any knee-jerk changes just because of the one bad result.
Right, okay, so we're going to the fixtures. So this is a double game week coming up. So we have, obviously, 2 weeks away. We'll cover this again probably next weekend, next podcast. We've got Hearts Rangers. That's the only like kickoff you'll get, so that's the only teams you'll be able to kind of plan around. St Mirren Livingston, Ross County Hibs, Dundee to St Johnstone, Celtic Motherwell, Aberdeen Kilmarnock, and then on Tuesday we've got double game week for Ross County Motherwell. And since the podcast started, it is Kilmarnock St Johnstone added as well. Don, that's right, isn't it? Kilmarnock, yeah. St Johnstone, right? So there's 4 teams playing twice. So upon hearing those fixtures, what is the captain, vice captain, and transfer thoughts, Donny?
Captain Tav, again, it's always a spicy fixture against Hearts, and I think could get returns at both ends. I made the mistake this game week not picking Jolak as vice-captain, and he holds, and that's why I've had such a poor week. I might, depending on the team news, go for him as my vice-captain, because everything else is going to be a risk. We've talked about Ross County targeting them for the double game week. I don't know if I'd be so confident as to put a vice on any of their players. I think I'd maybe just rather get the points returns. But as we've said in the other sections, just watch. You've got a lot of people away in Japan and Australia and other parts of Europe. So just make sure they all come back fit and healthy. I have got 2-3 transfers. So I'll be looking to make some changes there. Kyogo is the only real way to free up cash, but I just have to wait and see. But I think the Captain Tav is probably the only nailed on one right now.
Tom, transfers, captain, vice captain thoughts?
I've got 2-3 transfers as well. Probably going to get rid of Barry Mackay and one of the cheapy defenders, not decided yet. Possibly Scales. Mail is up to 2.4, so I might try and cash in on him before that drops again.
Double game week.
That's right.
It's 4 points. Oh, well, 4 points off Mail.
that's true. Jakovic is probably coming in. For Barry Mackay, I'm going to get rid of him and maybe go for a St Johnstone attacker. Dundee United, Kilmarnock, both pretty leaky. So want to take a wee punt. Take advantage of the double game week. Thinking possibly Graham Carey. He had 2 goals in the last 2 games before that. So you've got to get something to differentiate yourself and move up the ranks. I've been hovering around the 70s and 80s. So I need to move somewhere. So that's my plan.
Thought St Johnstone's away for that to happen.
You got to take these chances while you can. For vice-captain, I think if Kyogo comes back from international break fit, I'll probably vice-captain him at home to Motherwell. Captaincy, Not too sure.
Yeah, I know. This is one of the weeks I don't know if Tav is the best shout away from home.
Yeah.
I know it was fighting fixture, but I'm going to have to wait. I'll wait to see how it pans out.
That game's got a penalty all over it. 100%.
I'll wait to find out who the ref is first before I make my call on captains. Transfer, I think it will be Lacazette, like you've both mentioned. I am going to get rid of Atkinson. If he's not playing against Rangers, I think that's the best chance to get rid of him. Obviously, that changes if Shankland doesn't play, then he'll survive another week. But I think it will be him going for Lacazette. We'll use scales for the bench trick, and that lets me have two bench trick players, and I'll have three players on the bench between Spittle, Mayo and Lacazette, who will be double game week players, and the two best shooting off the bench for me, hopefully, and that would be a decent way to attack it. I don't really fancy any vice captain or captain. They'll just be there. Hopefully, they get more than the standard 4 points. End there, and that's, I suppose, it's just that's a bonus. Vice captain, is it Stan? Is it Owen Jota and captain Tav as it stands? But again, have to wait and see fixture news. I know Tav's still carrying an ox, so hopefully that clears up. And then the players come back to Celtic fully fit for the Nationals, because Jota's not in any squad, so he's just having a time. He's having a break, so he should be revitalised, ready to go. So, and that is kind of it. So, if you like anything else to add, I'll finish up. Anything else you want to add to the...
No, not for me.
Right, so next week we're going to come back and it'll be a FPL chat podcast with that national break. Don't know about that because he's flying this week. A wee bit on UCL, so Tom's choked to talk about the UEFA Champions League fantasy podcast. He's writing about that, so talk about that. And obviously, we'll cover any bits and bobs that pops up in the Scottish game near the time. Maybe some injury news, some players back fit, whatever. So we'll see more about that next week. So again, thanks for listening. I'll let you get your plugs in before you go. Donny, plugs?
I'm at FFS underscore Donny.
Tom?
And I'm FFS underscore Skill.
Yep, I'm a fantasy half. So once again, thank you for listening. Say goodbye, guys.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye from me.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.